I'm Wesley J. Smith, Senior Fellow at the Discovery Institute, and you're listening to Brave New Bioethics. Knocking human beings off our pedestal as a special species has become all the rage in contemporary bioethical and philosophical thinking. Under this view, known as personhood theory, each human being does not have moral worth simply and merely because he or she is human, but rather, we each have to earn our rights by possessing sufficient mental capacities to be considered a person. This means that in the view of mainstream bioethics, there is such a thing as a so-called human non-person, that is, human beings who are denigrated as being less valuable because they either have not yet attained the attributes of personhood, such as being self-aware over time, or have lost them. So who are these human non-persons? All unborn life, to be sure. Early embryos don't have a brain, and fetuses are not conscious. But so too are newborn infants denigrated as non-persons, although some bioethicists will refer to newborns as potential persons to try and avoid the policy consequences of depersonalizing babies. Other human non-persons would include people with profound cognitive impairments, such as my uncle Bruno, who died last year from Alzheimer's disease. Personhood theory provides moral justification to oppress and exploit the most vulnerable human beings. Indeed, based on the writing of some of the most influential writers in bioethics in the world's most reputable bioethical and medical journals, being denigrated as a non-person can have lethal consequences and lead to the worst forms of abuse. To illustrate these dangers, let us explore the writings of some of the world's most prominent bioethicists. First, let us look at the advocacy of Dr. John Harris, director of the Institute of Medicine, Law and Bioethics, University of Manchester, England. Writing in the Kennedy Institute of Ethics Journal, Harris asserted, quote, "Many, if not most, of the problems of healthcare ethics presuppose that we have a view about what sorts of beings have something that we might think of as ultimate moral value. Or if this sounds too apocalyptic, then we certainly need to identify those sorts of individuals who have the highest moral value or importance." Close quote. Let's look at this from a slightly different angle. If Dr. Harris had asserted that we should identify the race that has the highest moral value or importance, we would rightly call him a bigot. But the view I quoted is the same discriminatory thinking, just aimed at different victims. Harris goes on to claim that personhood theory tells us who we can kill and get a good night's sleep. Quote, "Personhood provides a species-neutral way of grouping creatures that have lives that it would be wrong to end by killing or by letting die. Persons who want to live are wrong by being killed because they are thereby deprived of something they value. Non-persons or potential persons cannot be wronged in this way because death does not deprive them of anything they can value. If they cannot wish to live, they cannot have that wish frustrated by being killed." Close quote. The right to kill non-persons is bad enough, but depersonalizing the weakest among us also leads to using them as mere natural resources to be harvested like a corn crop. The following quote comes from Tom Beecham, one of America's premier bioethicists and co-author of the most widely used university bioethics textbook, The Principles of Biomedical Ethics. Again writing in the Kennedy Institute of Ethics Journal, Beecham writes, quote, "Because many humans lack properties of personhood or are less than full persons, they are thereby rendered equal or inferior in moral standing to some non-humans. If this conclusion is defensible, we will need to rethink our traditional view that these unlucky humans cannot be treated in the ways we treat relevantly similar non-humans. For example, they might be aggressively used as human research subjects and sources of organs." Close quote. Ponder what this would mean if personhood theory became acceptable public policy. Scientists could not only create cloned embryos for research and destruction, but could also engage in fetal farming, that is, gestating cloned or natural fetuses to the later stages of development for use in research or even organ procurement. If you think this unlikely, New Jersey has already explicitly legalized cloned fetal farming up to and including the moment just prior to birth. Personhood theory would also permit organ procurement from cognitively disabled patients like Terry Schiavo, which I emphasize is not being done now, but which has been advocated in prestigious medical journals such as The Lancet and Critical Care Medicine. Personhood theory leads directly to infanticide as well, as promoted by Princeton bioethicist Peter Singer and in articles published in the New York Times and the New England Journal of Medicine. Indeed, baby killing isn't just theoretical. Eugenic infanticide is currently practiced in the Netherlands as part of that country's euthanasia program. Personhood theory is dangerous to the most weak and vulnerable among us. The only antidote is to hold closely to the sanctity, equality of life ethic that sees and recognizes intrinsic value in all human lives simply and merely because they are human. I'm Wesley J. Smith, and that's my opinion. Thanks for listening.